Begin the current daf, Masechet Bava Ba'aseh, daf Kuv Mem Vav. Begin 7 lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, continuing in a related discussion in the previous Mishnah, which was discussing the laws of inheritance, specifically regarding the shared estate of the brothers when there was a Sheshbinis, that the father had sent one of the sons to celebrate with his friend, giving gifts, and then that's an obligation that has to be paid back. So then this Mishnah continues on the theme regarding payments of gifts that have to be given back relating to the laws of marriage, which but a different subject matter. Mishnah begins as follows: Hashaleich sivloinus lebeis chamav. Someone sends gifts to his father-in-law's house, which the custom was that the chasanim, the grooms, after they would do kiddushin, which there would be a year's time many times between the engagement when you give the ring till the chuppah. So the following day he would send gifts to in honor of his new bride. Different jewelry and fruits and jugs of wine and jugs of oil, and many times he would even come there and eat with them from the gifts that he had sent them. So on that says the Mishnah, Shaluch Sham Me'yamana, if he sent even a large amount, a large sum of gifts, up to an amount of 100 mana, V'achol Sham Sudas Chasna Filabedin, and then he went there and he ate the Suda of the groom with them, even just the value of just a dinner, Einan Nigvan, so then, if he dies, or if she dies, or if he backs out and he wants to divorce her, then the gifts that he has given her, which is now was only because they're getting married and not getting married anymore, they're not collectible anymore. And the reason for that is it's because of the joy of the rejoicing that he had when he was eating and drinking and celebrating with them, that he was meichel, he was forgiving regarding the gifts that he had given them that are specifically, as we'll see in the Gemara, asuin libalis, that could be used up. And therefore, since he participated with them, although he gave a huge gift and it was only on the premise that he was going to get married and now it's not happening, but since he celebrated with them by partaking of it, even just a small amount of a dinner, it cannot be collected. But actually, as we'll see in the Gemara, if it was gifts that are not depleted, things that are sustained, like silver vessels, then they are going to be given back even if he ate and drank with them, as the Gemara teaches in the Gemara. Now, moreover, as Rashbam explains, this part of the Mishnah is discussing when he sent gifts unspecified. Because actually, shortly we're going to find the difference between when he sends gifts, as at the end of the Mishnah is going to describe, if it was for her to bring those gifts to her new husband's house when they end up getting married, in contrast to gifts that he gave her to maintain and use when she's still in her father's house before they get married. And those the save of the Mishnah, actually, those halachas, are not contingent on if the chassan ate with them or not. Which the inference is, then, the Reish of a Mishnah is talking about when he sends it unspecified, and those are contingent, they are dependent on if the chassan ate with them the suda or not, where if he ate with them, then he was meichel the whole thing, and if he didn't, then they would be collectible. As the Mishnah says, le'ochol sham sudas chassan, if he did not eat with them at all the sudas chassan, then if, let's say, the situation happens that one of them dies and the marriage doesn't go through, hare ela nigvan, then it is collectible, it has to be given back to the chassan, all those gifts. Now, the save of the Mishnah says, as we mentioned before, a different context. Shalach sevloinis merubin. If he sent a large amount of gifts, but he specified, in contrast to the ratio which were unspecified, sheyachzeru ima labeis bala, that these gifts should be brought back with her to her new husband's house. It's not for it to stay in her father's house. Now, as Rashbam points out, the same thing would be even if he sent a small amount of gifts, but if he specified that it's for that purpose to go back to her new husband's house, it's just that that's the normative way. When someone sends a large amount of gifts, that's the case when they would specify because he wants her to take it to the new house. Whereas when he sends a little bit, that's like, okay, you could use it up in your father's household. But if he's sending her the gifts that are to be brought to Labeis Bala, Sahare Lenigvin. So if it doesn't end up happening and she doesn't end up coming to Labeis Bala because one of them dies or he ends up backing out, so then it could be collectible. But savloin is mu'atin, shetishtamish ben bevei saviyah, but if he sends her a small amount of gifts, which that's usually the type when he says you can use those in your father's house, it's not for you to bring into the new marriage, then ein nigvin, then even if the marriage doesn't go through, it cannot be collectible by the chasan. Now, Amar Rabbi qualifies the halacha by Mishnah. Da'afka, this that it said that if this chasan ate a suda from the gift that he gave there right after they got engaged, that if he ate there, it's specifically dinner. It's only, as the Mishnah taught, it's not going to be collectible if he ate a dinner's amount. But if he ate less than a dinner, then he wasn't meichel anything, and then if it doesn't end up going through, it is collectible. Which the Gemara asked, Pshita, Dinatna, what's Rabbi teaching us? That was explicitly what the Mishnah said. Mishnah said, and the Chasen ate from the Suda even a dinner. So then, he's Michael the whole thing, even though it's 100 mana, way more than that. So what is Rabbi teaching us? Well, that says the Gemara Ma'adetim, what would you think to say, who had dinna filipachas, and didn't it actually know? The law of the Mishnah, if he eats with them, is even less than the dinner. V'hai diktoni dinna, so then why does it say the term of a currency of dinner? That's urcha de milsa gitani. It's just because it's saying the common way is because normally what a person amount that he eats is a din is worth. Actually, as we taught this in the previous daf, that adzuza achli bekarse, regarding the laws of shashbinus, if he has to give a gift of a zuz and he wasn't invited to the chasna, although he has to give it, but he could diminish that amount because that's normally how much he would eat of what he brought, which is a dinner, which is a zuz. Kamash Malan, that's what Rabbi's teaching. I said, no, it's not just a matter of fact type of thing. It's specifically exactly a dinner, but if it's less, then he wasn't Michael, and then it would have to be paid back to the chasen if the marriage doesn't end up going through. Now, the Gemara is Achol Tznan. So, Mishnah taught us that if he eats the Sudas chasen with them, then he's Michael. Shasamai, what's Allah if he drank, not ate? Moreover, another question is Hu Tznan. The Mishnah taught us that if he ate over there, which sounds like he himself, then he's Meichel. What would Shluchei Mai? Let's say it's not himself. Let's say he sent an agent to go bring the gifts. And the agent eats with them. What would the halacha be? Would that also be Mechila or not? Moreover, Sham Tna. The Mishnah taught us that he ate over there. It said, V'achol Sham, he ate over there, meaning by the Kala's house. Shagar Loi, but let's say they sent to the groom from their Suda that they had in the house because all the festivities that he sent, all the gifts, he didn't go there, but they sent to him. My, what would Allah be in that situation? Would you say that also, since he participated, albeit not there, that would also be Michael if he ate a dinner's worth? Says the Gemara, Tashema, come in here. The Amr of Yehuda Mershmul, he said, Ma'isabod Mechad, was an incident with a certain individual, Sheshigur Labez Chamov, that he sent to his father-in-law's house after he got engaged, Meya Kroinus, 100 wagons, Shalkade Yayin, of jugs of wine, Shalkade Shemin, of jugs of oil, Shalkli Kesav, of silver vessels, Shalkli Zav, of golden vessels, Shalkli Milas, and wool clothing, Verachav Bissim Chasai, and he was writing in great joy because he was so proud of himself that he sent all these vast amounts of gifts to his father-in-law's house. And he was standing there and all proud of himself, standing by the entryway of his father-in-law's house. And, oh, they were so excited. The chasen's here. Wow, the one that sent us all these gifts. And they brought him out a warm cup of beverage to drink. And he drank it while on his horse. Umes. And afterwards, he died before they ended up getting married. And this halacha was brought up by Rabbi Acha, the Sar Habira, the lord of the mansion, in front of the sages in Usha, meaning when the Sanhedrin was over there, because Usha was one of the 10 places that the Sanhedrin went into exile, as the Gemara teaches in Rosh Hashanah Lalamat Alf and Aleph. The Amr and the Chacham said, Sevloinus hasuin libolis, regarding the gifts that are usually depleted, that end up getting used up before the marriage, ein nigvin. Those cannot be collected because those, as we taught in the Mishnah, that if the chasen has enjoyment at dinner's worth of the suda, so he's meichel that. But as we alluded to this in the Mishnah, v'she'ein asuin libalis, but if there are things which are not usually used up, for example, gold and silver jewelry, those last for generations, well, that even if he had a dinner's worth of enjoyment from the suda, those still, if it doesn't go through because he ended up dying, nigvin, they could be collected and goes back to the chasen's family. But one thing says the Gemara, Shema Minah Filashasa. So you could prove that even if he drank, because this was the story was that he drank, and you see that since he had enjoyment, the things that are suin libalis, like fruits and different things that get used up, that they didn't have to give back. So you see, it's not just eating, it's even drinking. But the Gemara asks, but okay, Shami Minah, should we also infer from that story a filipachas midinner? Even though he just drank a cup of whatever it is, a dinner is a certain amount of money. A drink is usually not a dinner, and therefore that should be difficult on Rava, because Rava had actually explained that the halacha of the Mishnah is not it's not just what's called urcha de milsa gitani. It was, he said exactly, a dinner. Here, seemingly the drink was less than that, and yet still we see that since he had a na'ah, it's going to be meichel on all those things that hasun libalis. That in Ravashi says, no, it's not difficult on Rabbah, because man lemelon, who's to tell us, to leshach gile marganisa, that they did not grind a pearl, into that warm drink, because that's actually the way of nobility, that they drink a ground-up pearl for medicinal purposes, the shavya alfa zuzi v'ashked, which is worth 1,000 zuz, and that's what he drank. So there's no proof that is a contradiction to Rava, because maybe it was worth a dinner. But the Gemara asked regarding one of the other questions we had, but Shami Mino, could we at least infer also from this story, afila shigurloi, that even if they send him, because here he drank it while he was still riding on his horse, which was before the opening of the entryway of his father-in-law's household, so he wasn't there in their house, he was outside, so seemingly the halacha teaches us that it's not only if he goes there, but even if they send him, like here they brought him out the warm drink, and yet we see that it was considered mechila because he had enough from the suda. That says the Gemara, no, Dilma called Pesach Beis Chama. Maybe the entryway of his father-in-law's house is Kabeis Chama of Dami, is the equivalent of being in his father-in-law's house, but sending it all the way back to the Chassan's house where he lives in his town, that would still be a question for us, and that would still be considered him having enough from Sudas Chassan to be considered Mechila if it's a dinner's worth. Now, Ibailu, the Gemara had the following question. Mahu Sheyesh Shalish, which as Rashbam brings this Girtzah from the Rach, which, in other words, this halacha that we've said in the name of Rava, that has to be specifically a dinner. In other words, that if he eats in his father-in-law's house something that's worth a dinner, or even, as we said in the Gemara, he drinks wine that amount, but less than a dinner, we said, that's not going to be considered having hana enough to be meichel on the savlonis that he gave. Now, that the Gemara is asking, but what's the halacha if you could make it into thirds, regarding the gifts that he gave, which the Gemara doesn't end up answering that question. What is the question? If, let's say, he sends these gifts, let's say, worth 100 mana, and he eats in his father-in-law's house a value of a dinner. So that's what the Gemara was explaining from the Halacha of the Mishnah, that whatever the father-in-law's household had from all the gifts, now that he ate a dinner's worth, it's Michael. But let's say he ate only a half a dinner. Do we say that they merit half of the gifts? And the same thing would be a third or a quarter. And that's what the Gemara is asking, which Sheyishalish B'Savlainis, although we said that it was less than a dinner, that we said, no, it's not Meichel, but maybe that means you don't give all of it as a Mechila. But maybe you would prorate it, you would give the ratio, the proportion of whatever it is. So if, let's say, it's not a full dinner, but it's a third of the dinner or a half of the dinner, so if it's 100 mana that he had given them, and now he ate a half a dinner, maybe it would be only 50. And that would be Mechila on half, but not the whole thing. That's the Gemara's question in Sheyesh Shalish. Another question, Shvach Sevloinis Mahu. What's the halacha regarding the increase of value of these gifts? We're, let's say, in the situation where they have to be given back. Do we say that the increase also, what they increased in that interim, also has to be given back? For example, let's say he sent to his father-in-law's house cattle and flock, and they had given birth. So now there's more value in what he had given them. That shvach, what do you do with that? As the Gemara explains the question. Kiven di isnehu, do we say that since if it's extant, lidi dehadri has to be given back to him? So bishus yishabuch, so it increased in his domain because it's still him that owns it. Idim, or maybe that you say no, because kiven di avdi amignivi, let's, if it would have been lost or stolen, bay shlumile, so the Kala's family would have to pay it back to the Chassan, so b'shusa didashabuch, so essentially really increased in their domain, because you see that they had the responsibility at that time, and when we have people that have, let's say, like a ganav or someone that has responsibility, it's already theirs, because or else why would there be responsibility? There wouldn't be any liability. And therefore maybe they should get the shvach, although they have to give it back to him because it's not going through the marriage, but the shvach, they would be able to keep. So the Gemara take a let it stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be regarding the increase in the value of these items that have to go back to the chassan. But Rav had the following question. Sevloinis hosuyin libalis. Regarding gifts that usually do get used up, which, as we had explained, that if he had a joinment of a dinner's worth from the Sudas Chassan, that they don't go back to the chassan if the marriage doesn't end up going back. But ask Rava, let's say veloy bal. Let's say they don't end up getting depleted by the time the chasna doesn't go through. So, mahu, what would the halacha be at the time when the Kala's family are giving him back all the things that are not usually used up, like all the jewelry, which that you have to give back in all circumstances. These things that, although they usually are used up, like food items, now when they're giving him back the other things, do you have to give back these items too, or not? So, says the Gemara Tashma, come in here. Bring a raya from the following halacha. we said in the Brisa, "Bezu halacha hella Reb Acha Sahar Bila fnei Chum ba'Usha." That this halacha was brought up by Reb Acha the Sahar Bira in front of the Chum and Usha. V'amru, and they said, "Sevloinus hasuyin libolis ein negavin." They said that the gifts that are usually used up, so then if he had enjoyment of a dinner, ein negavin, so they're not collected by the Chassan's family. V'she'ein hasuyin libolis nigvin, but the things that are not usually used up, they are collected. Says the Gemara, my love, avagav lebalu, isn't the inference from the Braisa that even if it was not used up, but since they are things that are usually, yes, depleted, so it doesn't differentiate, so similarly that would answer the Rabbah's question, that even if it's still around, you don't have to give it back. Says the Gemara, lay the balu. No, when we're talking about that those things that are usually used up, they actually used up, and therefore they don't have to pay him back. But if it wasn't used up and it's still around, maybe they would have to give it back to him. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a ride from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Sevloinis mu'atin shetishtamish behen, if he had given her a small amount of gifts that she should use, v'hibe v'esabia, while she's still in her father's household. So said the Mishnah, so ain't the govern, so then they're not collected. Which, as Rashbam explains, that the reason why this is different than the previous Braisa is because the first ride the Gemara tried bringing from the Braisa, since it differentiated between two different categories regarding things that are asurin libalis and things that are not asurin libalis, so you could say, since it described things that are usually depleted, so you could say that, yeah, like the Gemara answered, yeah, it's my things that were already balu, they already were worn out by the time it came to give it back. And therefore it wasn't a riot to Rava's question, if it wasn't, what would the halacha be? But in our Mishnah, it says an absolute type of a halacha. It just says that if you give her things to use in her father's household, which sounds like that it's not differentiating, even if it's things that are still around, that you wouldn't have to give it back. Now, however, as Rashbam points out, the Gemara could have answered and said that, no, yeah, we're talking about like the Braisa, where it's something that was asur in the bullies and it was balu. It's just that the Gemara actually wants to say even the bigger chiddush in its answer and saying that we could even be talking about things that are asur in the bullies and they were not balu. And yeah, you don't have to give it back, but it still wouldn't be a riot to answer Rava's question. Why? Because Tirgim Rava, Rava interprets the halacha of a Mishnah, beyeva v'sivchasa. That they're talking about these types of kerchiefs and knots that these women would use, which are very small and insignificant things. So yes, regarding that the Mishnah says, since it's very small things, like it said, sevlainis mu'atin, that's where the chasam was totally meichel. And there, yes, Rava would agree, it wouldn't make a difference if they're balu, if they weren't balu. But regarding makeup or ornaments or adornments that are very chashiv, so then that would be a valid question, even though they're things that are used up. If they're not used up, would you have to give it back or not? That question is not being answered from our Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav says, Ma'isa ba'adam echad, there was an incident with a certain person, Sheshigile Beis Chamav, that he sent to his father-in-law's house, Yayin Chadash, new wine, B'shemen Chadash, and new oil, V'kli Pishtan Chadash, and new linen garments, meaning garments that are made out of linen, from new linen, Batzeris, on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So the Gemara says, Ma'ikam Hashemom, what is this story teaching us? Okay, great, so that's what he did. So the Gemara says, Ibai say, if you want, you could say Chashivus de Eretz Yisrael Kamashmon. It's teaching us the Chashivus, the distinguishing characteristics of Eretz Yisrael, where it's very quick to mature its produce already by Shavuos time, which a lot of places they're not done till after Shavuos. Or Ibai say, more if you want, you could say it's teaching us halacha related to what we were discussing before. The Itayin, if the Chassan makes such a claim, Tanosei Taina, that it's a valid claim. So in other words, if it's a certain situation where the chasna does not end up going through, and the gifts have to go back to him, and he claims that I had sent you wine and oil by Shavuos time as gifts, that it's not establishing him as a liar, and to the contrary, it's a valid claim, because Eretz Yisrael, there is that ability to have it already by Shavuos time, and therefore those gifts, those sublimities would have to be given back to the chasna when it's given back. Another teaching from Amar Yehuda Merav on this topic, Ma'isa ba'adam echad was an incident with a certain person, Sha'amrullah, that they told him, Ishtay tu tarnesi, that his wife had a certain illness, that's what he was told, that she can't smell, which is what's called a mumsha b'seis, it's called a concealed blemish, which the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Ksubos Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, if someone engages a woman on the condition that she does not have any blemishes, and then later he finds out that she has blemishes, it's not a kedushin, she's like not even married. Now, let's say he married her without specifying, and it turns out that she has blemishes. So then, although they're married, but he could divorce her without a ksuba. The Chacham say, well, that is only by a mum shebeseser, by a concealed blemish. Now, this person did not accept upon himself that he's going to take her if she has blemishes, and therefore, if he engaged her or married her unspecified and he finds blemishes, so he could divorce her without giving her ksuba, but as the Gemara says in Perakamadra over there, but he would have to give her a ged, she's engaged, but he wouldn't have to give her ksuba. So this was a very important topic for him to find out if she really had this mum, because then he wouldn't have to give her ksuba. So what he did was, so he followed after her into a dilapidated building, a ruin, to go ahead and check her out over there, and to see if she really was able to smell or not. So what he did was, he carried in his pocket a radish to test if she's going to smell it. Some say actually that he actually had a date in his pocket, not a radish. But and this incident took place near the Galil. So Amalo, when they went into the ruin, he told her, I smell a smell of a radish in the Galil. Now, he wanted to test her to see if she's going to smell, because from her words, he'll be able to recognize if she smells or not. And he was referring to the radish that he had in his pocket. Now, actually, according to those who say that what he had was carrying was the date, that's why he said, I smell a radish, to test to see if she's going to respond that, no, not a radish, I smell a date. And therefore, then he'll know that she's really able to smell. So as the Gemara continues on the base, Amrlei, so in this joking type of a way, his wife responded to him, Man yavlan mikoisebis de yirichai. Oh, wow, if only someone could give us from the dates of Jericho, of Yirichai, which are sweet, v'achal mebei, and I'll eat the radish together with that date, which, because the radishes are very sharp, because that's actually what they used to do. They would eat dates with radishes because they would balance each other out, because one is sharp and the other one's sweet, and the sweet date would sweeten. Like he said, oh, I smell a radish. He's like, oh, if only I could have dates with that radish. Now, it's because she understood that he was trying to test her, so she responded in a joking type of a way. Now, according to the version that says that he actually was carrying with him a date, that's why she said, I smell a date, although he said a radish, and not a radish, so that he should know that she really is able to smell. And the reason why she said from the dates of Yericha is because Yericha is called the Ir HaTamarim, which is what a Kesebes is, the city of dates. Now, but once they were there in this ruin, Nafal LaChurva Mesa. So actually, there was a dilapidated building, and it actually collapsed on the woman, and she died. Now, the husband then came in front of the court, and he wanted to inherit his wife, as every husband has to the wife. So Amachacham, the sages said, Hoyl v'loy nechnes achareha. Now, first we'll explain the first interpretation Rashbam brings, is that since he only went after her to the ruin, to be with her, was Ella Labaitka, was only to check her out and then to divorce her if she's not able to have a sense of smell. And Mesa, she died in that incident. So in the Yarsha, so he's not going to inherit her. Now, so that those who have the explanation like we just said, and they explained that it's talking about by an Arusa, as the other incidents in the Gemara, that it was talking about that he was engaged to her and he wanted to consummate the relationship, but he wanted to make sure that she had a sense of smell. Which Rashbam does not like, because even if he would cohabit with her when she's engaged, but if it's before they had the chuppah, then he wouldn't inherit her, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechet Yevamos, that a woman that's engaged, that if she dies, he does not inherit her, because he only inherits his wife only after chuppah, as the Gemara taught on Daf Kof Tes Mabez, that the inheritance of the husband of the wife is from the pasuk from She'eri HaKarvela Mimishpachta Miyarashai, so which teaches us only after that they went to the chuppah. So, to the contrary, the Rashbam explains that we're talking about a regular husband and wife that were married. And the understanding of the Gemara is that the Chum said, since he went after her into the ruin to check her out, since she died in that incident, he's not going to inherit her, is because since his intention was to divorce her if he found out that she had that blemish that she couldn't smell, and it was through that incident that she died before he was appeased to say, oh, it's okay, she has the sense of smell, that's why he does not merit to inherit her. And it's actually from this halacha that we learned that if someone's wife dies through a fight that they had, which his intention was to divorce her, and he never got a chance to calm down and appease himself, he does not inherit her, as the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin on the Yud Ches Amud Aleph. If he had already putting eyes intending to divorce her, then the husband doesn't get payers anymore, does not get the produce of the wife's nechsei meluk. So therefore, that's the explanation of this incident, that they said, no, you can't inherit her anymore because your intention was to divorce her, and you never reverted back from that intention. Now the Mishnah said, "Sevloinus mu'atin shadishtamish ben beveisaviyah v'chulu." If it was a small amount of gifts that he told her, "Here, these gifts are for you to use in your father's house, not to take with you to when we get married." So then, as the Mishnah said, the ein governs; those gifts are not collected. So the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, "Yosef Ravin Saba kamed Rapapa." So Ravin, the elder, was sitting in front of Rapapa, but Yosef Kaman, who was sitting, was saying that the following halacha: Bein shemesahi, whether she's the one that died, or bein shemesahu, whether he's the one that died during their engagement. Or hadar hu, or if he backs out and he decides to divorce her before consummating with a chuppah, savloinis hadri. So the gifts have to be given back. So for example, we're talking about, as we explained previously, gifts that are not usually libalis, which they were just sent unspecified, they have to be given back to the chasen. But maichla mishta, but if it's food or drink items which he sent to his father-in-law's house, then loyhadr, those things, if they were sent unspecified, they're not given back if, as we explained in the Mishnah, he ate from the sudas chasin there at least the value of a dinner, because that's what we explained, since there are things that are suin lipolis, that's why they're meichel, as we explained previously, when he has the enjoyment, at least from that, a dinner's worth. But if, let's say, explains the Rashbam, if he would have specified on the intention that it's that it should be given back to me, so then they would be given back, and there wouldn't make a difference if he said if he gave a large amount of gifts or he gave a small amount of gifts, as we already explained previously. But says the Gemara, if Hadra ba'ihi, if she's the one that backs out, then Hadra filakisha the yarka, then even a bundle of vegetables have to be given back. Because the only exception, actually, when she backs out, that doesn't have to be given back, as the Gemara taught in the previous daf, is the Kedushin. And that's because the Gezeirah D'Rabbanan were concerned if it's given back, people are going to think that, oh, it was never valid Kedushin, and then if he would go engage the sister, it would be valid, which is not the case. They were, it's just that she has to give it back, because it was given on the assumption that they're going to get married. Now, concludes the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Reid of Yeshua. So although, when she backs out, let's say, everything has to be given back, food and drink has to be given back, but v'sham alehen d'mei baser. But when they're giving him back food and drink items that they had eaten and drank, and they have to give it back, they evaluate the value of the meat and all the other types of food items, bezoil, in the cheapest version. As the Gemara explains, ad kama bezoil, how much means cheaper? It's ad tilsa, it's that you take a third off the market price, where it's in that way they evaluate all the foods and drinks that they had originally eaten, which they didn't intend to give it back. They didn't know the marriage was not going to go through. Had they known that they have to give it back, they would never have eaten it from him. But however, although they have to give it back now, but they could give it back at this reduced rate of only two-thirds of its value, which, as Rashbam says, we find this many places in Shas, like in Baba Kamachov Amar Aleph, when the animal eats from the street, so Mishalemis Mashanenis, the owner of the animal has to pay from the benefit that the animal had, which is the cheaper version, which is also two-thirds, or as the Gemara in Ksubas Lamadama Beis, when the father leaves over to the children a cow that was borrowed and they didn't know and they slaughtered and they ate it, so they have to pay again Dimei Basa Bezoil, which was from here we learned out this concept that whenever in the Talmud it mentions Bezoil, it means all the value of what was eaten minus a third. You have to only give two-thirds of that value. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, and continuing the theme of this Perek, Misha Meis, regarding someone that passes away. So the Mishnah describes a Shchiv Mera, a dying person who has unique halachas in Kinyanim of being able to give away his assets. So the Mishnah describes a dying person, Shekasav Kol Nechasav L'Acherim, who wrote over all his assets to other people. Now the same thing would apply not only if he writes, but also if orally, without writing, he says that I want all my assets to go to that person, as the Gemara teaches later on, Daf Kufnun Vavam Abeis, as we find by the mother of Bnei Reichel, that she died, and the sages fulfilled her words, even though it was just an oral declaration. But it would have to be, for example, if there were witnesses that she was a Shchiv Mera when she wrote or when she gave this gift, or the Shchiv Mera themselves wrote on the document, Katkotzav Rami Ba'arse, I'm writing this as I'm lying here on my deathbed, as the Gemara teaches later on, Daf Kufnun Gimel Madav. So if it was a dying person that either wrote or was saying, giving away all his properties to other people, but Vishayir Karko Kolshu, but he didn't give away everything. He left over a small piece of land for himself, which is, as the Gemara will explain on Kuf Mem Tes, the measurement of how much is considered a small amount of land. Then, matnasei kayemes. Then his gift is valid, meaning this would be considered what's called in halacha matna shchivra b'miktas, the gift of a dying person in partial, meaning he didn't give away everything. So then, actually, even if he ends up getting well and doesn't end up dying, the gift that he gave away does not go back to him. Now, but then it would have to be talking about that he had also written a kinyan to take effect, a halachic acquisition, as the Gemara teaches later on, daf kofna aleph on the base. Now, the halacha is that, as we're describing this partial gift of the dying person, where he didn't give away everything, that it needs a kinyan, that would be required even if he does die. Since he didn't give away everything, it would be required that he had given it with a kinyan. Because in contrast, if someone is commanding his stuff to be given away because he's dying, that in halacha, generally, which is a unique halacha shchimra, does not require a kinyan. But that's only if he dies. But if, let's say, he gets up, meaning he ends up getting healed, then whatever he had given away actually goes back to him, even if he had actually made a kinyan and they acquired it from him. Because since it was only because he was worried he's going to die that he wanted to give his stuff away, when he ends up getting up, so he ends up getting it back, because it was only with the intention that he's going to die. Now, in this case, when he leaves over a small piece of land for himself, that it is a valid gift, is because since he left over a piece of land for himself, so that is essentially the same as a gift of a healthy person, which is that since either if he's going to survive this illness or die from this illness, it's going to be a valid gift, because obviously that he wasn't giving it away because he was worried he's going to die. Because if he's giving away this worried he's going to die, why are you leaving land for yourself? Give it all away. Obviously, it's because you wanted to give it away either way, and you were thinking, okay, in case I don't die, I have a small piece of land. Therefore, even if he survives, the gifts are valid gifts. But, says the mission, Lo Yishayu Karka Kosher, let's say he didn't leave over even a small piece of land for himself. Well, then, Eimat Nasei Keyemes. Then, if he does survive, then it's not a valid matana, and it goes back to him even if they had acquired it already from him, because it's obvious that he was giving it away because he's going to die. And it was with that intention that if he doesn't die, then the gift should not be valid from the fact that he didn't leave over anything for himself. We say that his intention was not to give it away, that if he's going to survive, that he's going to have nothing left for himself, and he's going to die now of hunger because he has nothing, and he's going to have to come on to other people. But if he does die, then yes, then of course his gifts are going to be gifts, whether he left over something for himself, or if he didn't, as obvious from the Gemara Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis, where Rav Nachman said that a Shchimera that writes away all his properties to other people, so we see. If he's giving it away like giving it all away, so then if he dies, so they all acquire. Now, this halacha would be, even if they did not make a kinyan from him, they would acquire all his assets after that he dies, if he didn't leave over anything for himself. Because that's the halacha that the Gemara teaches us, that divrei shchivmera kiksubin ukemesurim dami, as the Gemara explained, the reason that the words of the dying person are like they were written and given over already. Now, but again, it's specifically a dying person that writes away all his properties, unspecified, and he didn't say that it's because he's going to die. That's where he didn't mention the concept of death, and that's why he's commanding it, so that's why it would have to be all the properties, and then it would work even if there was no kinyan, and again, if he does. But if he commanded that the reason why I'm giving is because I'm dying, then even if he leaves over a small piece of land for himself and they make a kinyan from him, the gift is not going to be a valid gift because obviously it was with the stipulation that it's only because he's dying. But it's only and if he ends up surviving, then it goes back to him as the Gemara teaches us later on in the Gemara. So again, the halacha of the Mishnah is unique chiddush in Shchimra, which is that it's essentially the matna Shchimra which will take effect in it, only if he dies, but if he survives, it will not be, is only if he gives it all away, but if he doesn't give it all away, then it's obviously it's not only if you're going to die, unless, again, he specifies that, because then why are you holding on to it? Then it would be a gift, even if he survives. So the Gemara asks, Man Tana, who's the Tana of a Mishnah that holds that the Azlina Basa Umdina, that we go based on assumptions, which is that we evaluate the assumption of the one who's giving this gift, that although he didn't specify, it's like he specified, because our Mishnah taught that he didn't leave over any land for himself, so we evaluate his intention that obviously it's because he gave up hope of living, and that's why he didn't leave over any land for himself. And it's with that intention that he gave it, that if he's going to die, that he wants that the gift to work out, but obviously the intention was that if he's going to survive, that it should be given back to him, and it should not be a valid gift. It's just that he didn't think he's going to survive. So who is that Tana? So Amrav Nachman, he says, Reb Shimon ben Manasi. Reb Shimon ben Manasi, Tana like within the Braisa. Someone had that his only child went overseas. And he heard that his son died. He got up and he wrote away all his properties to someone else when he heard that his son had died. Now, but he didn't specify that it's because his son had died that he did this. He just unspecified, he went and he wrote over all his properties to someone else. And then his son comes. His son was really alive. Says the Tana Kama, Matnase Matana, the gift that he gave to that other person is a valid gift. Because since he didn't specify to say that he's giving it to someone else because his son had died, we don't go after evaluation of what we would assume someone's intention was. You didn't say. You gave it away. It's too late. But Rav Shimon Nasya Eimer, who the Gemara is explaining, Rav Nachman saying is a Tana by Mishnah, he says, no, Matnase Matana, his gift is not a valid gift. Because had he known that his son was alive, he most definitely, we could assume, would not have written it away to that other person. And therefore, our Mishnah is Reb Shimon Menasi, who he teaches the same idea in our Mishnah, that where he doesn't leave over anything for himself, it's not a valid gift if he survives, because we evaluate and we assume that had he known that he's going to survive, he wouldn't have given away everything away, because how's he supposed to survive himself? He says that it's Reb Shimon Shizuri. It's a different Tana. Reb Shimon Shizuri. The time like Linda Bryce, it's actually a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, that tells the Bereshayin HaYa'imim, originally they said the following halacha, that specifically Hayyitzah B'Koyler, someone that's going out in chains to be executed, which obviously he's not able to have his thoughts so clearly, he knows it's his last moments on this planet and he's going to be executed. V'amar kiss would get Leish, and he says, write a get for my wife. Now, when he said write a get for my wife, obviously his intention was that they should also give it to his wife. It's just because he's so perturbed and he's worried that he realizes he's about to die, that he forgets to say and give it to her. Because obviously he doesn't just want it to be written, he wants it to be given. Says the Tanakama, so they write it and they give it to him. So originally it was only said regarding someone that was going to be executed. They then went and said even more, not only someone that's going to be killed, but Afa Mefarish, that even someone that's going out on the sea voyage, where he's also perturbed, and by Yitzhak Bishiyar, even someone that's going out on a caravan, a long journey, they're also not so clear and so regulated, and even if they say just write it, they mean write and give it, because they're worried that their wife should not be Naguna, should be left alone, or to be stuck with Yim Chalitza, and therefore, then when they say write it, it means to write and give it. Now, Reb Shimon Shizuri, and that's where we find in our Mishnah the same thing about a dying person. He says, Afa Masukin, even a person that's close to death, who his intention is also that they should write it and give it to her, because that's his whole intention, is that his wife should be exempted from Yibam. There also, if he says write it, it means write it and give it. So you see that it is a umdana, although he didn't say it, we assume that's his intention. That's the same as Allah of our Mishnah by a dying person, although he didn't say that it's only if he dies, but we could assume that's his intention. So now the Gemara asks, Rav Nachman, my time alay mukim la Reb Shimon Shizuri. Why didn't Rav Nachman say like this last interpretation of Rav Sheshes, like Reb Shimon Shizuri, which is also regarding a dying person, and we see that we make a umdna, that should be the Tana of our Mishnah. So that says the Gemara, no, Shani Hasam the Amar Kisva. No, that Allah Reb Shimon Shizuri is different, because he revealed his intention that he wants to give a get, because he said, write it for her. Now, because if he didn't want to divorce her, then why would he have them write the get? Obviously, his intention was to write and to give it. It's just that he didn't, but at least he revealed his intention. But you wouldn't know regarding over here. We didn't say anything about him surviving that it should go back to him. Therefore, you don't see that opinion from Reb Shimon Shizuri. Now, the Gemara says, Reb Sheshes, my time of the Mukam Lok Reb Shimon Menasi. And why didn't Reb Sheshes say the time of Mishnah is like the Reb Nachman said from Reb Shimon Menasi, where you see a clear cut umdina, and therefore he could be the time of our Mishnah too? And that says the Gemara, no, because umdina de muchach shani. An obvious evaluation, assumption, is different. Because as long as this guy's son was alive, he never gifted it away to someone else. Until he happened to have heard, and it was a big thing, everyone heard that his son had died overseas, and then he went and wrote it, okay, that's an obvious umdana. So yeah, maybe over there, Reb Shimon Menasi would say that we would assume that when the son comes back, the gift is not a gift. But regarding the law of our Mishnah, regarding a sick person, where most of the sick people survive. And therefore, maybe his intention was not that he was giving it all away because he was going to die. It's not such an obvious umdana. Maybe that would not be Reb Shimon Menasya, and he wouldn't agree to it. And therefore, Reb Sheshes wanted to say rather from Shimon Shizuri, who was talking about not even such an obvious umdana, and yet still he was saying that it's going to be an umdana, and we could assume and know the knowledge of what the person intended. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, Zaman tan l'had tan rabban. Who's a tan of the following braisa? Brisa says, Harisha hayachayla umutl b'mita. Someone was ill and he was laying on bed. V'amrulay nechasech l'mi. They said, okay, and who's your property going to go to? V'amrulay, and he said to them, as we continue to talk of Kuf Mem Zayin Men Aleph, well, duma sheyesh li ben. In other words, I thought that I had a son. Achshav shein li ben. Now that I don't have a son, and I know I don't have a son, so nechse l'plainya, so my property should go to that person. Or let's say hayachayla umutl b'mita. Let's say it was an ill person who was laying in his bed. V'amrulay nechasav l'min. They said, and his property, meaning you, who's it going to go to? So Amalahan, he said to them, look, I thought that I had a pregnant wife. But now that I know that my wife's not pregnant, so let my property go to that person. Now, V'naydin was known regarding these two incidents. It was found out that he does have a son. Or he actually did have a pregnant wife, which means to say he is going to have an heir to get his stuff from him. Says the Braisa, therefore, his gift is not a valid gift, because had he known that he had a son or a pregnant wife, he would not have given it. So says the Gemara, Leimer Pshimim Menasi, he will Rabbanan. Should we say the Tana, this Braisa is Pshimim Menasi, who he goes based, as we said, in that same case where he thought his son was dead, and we find out that he's really alive, with Rabbanan said, a gift is a gift. And Pshimim Menasi said, no, it's an assumption that he, only because he thought his son was dead, so seemingly this Braisa is like Pshimim Menasi, not like Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, no, Afil Tam Rabbanan, we could even say this Braisa is like Rabbanan. Because Doi Meshani, since he said almost explicitly that he was only giving it to someone else because I thought my son was alive, I thought I had a pregnant wife, and I realized I don't, so give it to this other person. So that even Rabbanu would agree to, that it's almost like saying it explicitly that he's giving it for someone else. So the Gemara actually asks, Udukarila, my Karila, the one who asked the question, what was he asking? Why would you think it's Reb Shimon ben Asya? Yeah, it's not just an umdana, which even if you're going to say it's umdana muchach, but he didn't say anything to that effect. So yeah, the other Rabbanu say that, you know, you didn't say. But here he almost basically said, so maybe the Rabbanu would agree with it. On that, the Gemara says, no, because Ma'adutema, maybe you would think to say, Sa'ari hudukamatker, he's just recalling his pain. In other words, he's not hinging the reasoning of his gift to that other person because his son is dead. Rather, it's like he's just like mourning and groaning regarding that he's recalling now that his son is dead. And it's because his son would have been fit to inherit his father's assets. And he's saying, and I don't have a son to inherit me. Because of that, he recalls the pain that he had that his son who had died, he's recalling that now that when he's giving his assets to other people. And therefore, there's not such an assumption over here. Because you could say that the Brayis is only Kibshim and Manasseh, not like Drabonon, because it's not even such an obvious umdina. The fact that he mentioned it is not because he's mentioning because, I don't have a son. Okay, give it to someone else. No, he's giving it to someone else. And he didn't say anything about the son. He's just recalling the agony of not having the son. Kamash Malan, that's what the Gemara had to answer. That no, it is specifically, because it's almost like he explicitly said that he's hinging his giving of this gift to someone else because the son is dead. And therefore, that's why the Gemara to answer, that's even like Drabanan, you don't have to say something like Shimon Manasseh because it's almost clearly that he's saying it's only because there's no son. But if there was a son, he wouldn't give it. And therefore, since we find that there's a son, the gift is not a gift, even according to the Drabanan.